join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is, I was born for this.
Remain standing as I read one verse of scripture to you from John, the 18th chapter and verse 37. John 18 and verse 37. And it says, Pilate therefore said unto him, him is reference to Jesus. Pilate therefore said to him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. And to this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. You may be seated. I want to speak today from the subject, I was born for this. Look at somebody and say, I was born for this. It is good to know what you was born for, and good to know what you wasn't born for. Ladies, if you're with a man who hitting you upside your head, you need to know you wasn't born for that. You know, as that meme say, ain't nobody got time for that. Okay, ain't nobody got time. Certain things you see, once you understand what you're born for, that also shows you, let you know what you wasn't born for. Once you know what you're born for, it causes you to be deliberate and intentional about everything in your life. Once you know what you're born for, it causes you to be intentional and deliberate about where you live. That you don't just move somewhere because they got an opportunity there or a job is there. Okay? That you don't follow every man and every woman that you seem attracted to. That you don't get in covenant relationships with people that was just supposed to be an incidental relationship. Because once you know what you're born for, it gives your life direction and purpose. And in the context of this scripture here, Jesus is on trial before Pilate. Pilate, who was looking for a reason to release him. And then his wife nailed it and she said, listen, I've been dreaming about this man. It ain't good. I ain't been able to sleep. Leave this man alone. And so Pilate eventually says, I find no fault in him. And he wants to release him. When they said, release him, they said, well, you got to release somebody, but we'd rather you release the criminal, which was Barabbas, than release Jesus. Barabbas didn't even realize he got saved that day because of Jesus too. But while he's on trial, Pilate starts asking questions. He said, one of the things he says, because they said, well, this man, they were trying to give the government structure a reason to have problems with him. And they said, well, you need to understand, he claimed he a king. And if he a king, then he might overthrow you. He might come across against the government. So Pilate said to him, are you a king? And Jesus answered and said, thou sayest I'm a king. Now, when I was in college, I'll never forget, my freshman year in college, I went to a Lutheran college. Okay, some of y'all wonder why we are a quote-unquote non-denominational church, because I done been through them all. Okay, I'm a mutt. I started off as a high Baptist boy. When I say high Baptist, I mean we didn't clap our hands in our church. We sang hymns. And some of y'all, when I see folks holding hymn books, I'm like, I can tell y'all wasn't as dignified as my dad. We knew how to hold a hymn book. When you hold a hymn, you stood like this, and we were taught how to hold the hymn books. And you did it like this, and you look down and you look up, standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let praises ring. Glory, hallelujah, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God, standing on the... Started off as a Baptist boy. My uncle pastored a Pentecostal storefront church where I went and really got a relationship with Jesus. I got filled with the Holy Spirit there. Went to Catholic school. Went to a Lutheran college. Moved to Maine. Spent a year in the Amy Zion Church. Then I got ordained through the Church of God in Christ. Then I got ordained through a non-denominational church. Then I started Right Direction. But as a result of that, I got to understand that there is something that is called liberal theology. Liberal theology, those are people who have been taught, they may be preachers, they go to church and they have degrees and they profess to be Christian, but they believe in the message of Jesus without accepting the person of Jesus. Okay, so they say things like, well, Jesus was a good man, but he wasn't God in the flesh. Jesus was a good man. You receive his message, but all this stuff about, you know, the blood and he rose again. All that is stuff that his disciples made up. Which means that they are still believing what the Romans told the people. Told the God to tell the people that he wasn't raised. Tell them somebody stole his body away. And as a result of that, they don't believe in the supernatural. And I remember as a freshman boy in college at the age of 17, I went to college when I was 17, became 18 that later that semester. But I took a class called New Testament Theology. And my professor was a Lutheran professor who I found out. Now I understand was a liberal theologian. And I remember him saying, Jesus never professed to be the Son of God. Jesus never professed to be King of the Jews. His disciples made all this up, and he never was trying to start a world religion. As a matter of fact, my daughter, when she first went to New York, she's been in New York about 5 years now, and praise the Lord, she's still finding her way. Glory to hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'm trying to give her a compass. But while she's settled into a good church now, and she even told us she's into church, she's serving and meets with the pastors, help them plan and all this kind of stuff. And she called one day, she said, you know, I'm a low-key elder. I said, well, what's a low-key elder? She said, well, I get there early, I got to set the chairs up, I leave late. I said, you just a good usher. Don't be trying to give yourself no new titles. I'm a low-key elder. But before she was in this church that we're happy she's in now, she found this church and I had never checked. And she told us about this church. I said, well, let me check that church out. And I said, do y'all stream? She said, they stream. And I looked in there and it was a evening Bible study. And I was able to stream it. And I looked, I saw her sitting there. And the pastor was up saying all this stuff about being saved and born again and all that and going to heaven. It ain't about that. Jesus didn't come to do that. He just came to help us to know how to live on the earth and treat people right. And I'm texting her, leave now. Leave. Okay? And, if she could have saw my, if I could have FaceTimed her, I would have did like on the movie Get Out. Run. But based upon this scripture, this professor was saying Jesus never professed to be the king, never professed to be savior, because if you look at it based upon how we talk today, Jesus didn't give him a straight answer, but keep on reading. So Pilate said, are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? Are you professed to be king? And Jesus said, thou sayest that I am a king. You got to understand, Jesus had a little bit of swag to him. So you got to, let me give you interpretation. You said it. You a king? You said it. You just answered your own question. You said, and then, but then he goes on, which makes it even plainer. To this end, for the purpose of being a king, was I born. And for this cause came I into the world. Jesus, I was born for this. I was born at this time in this place to occupy this space. It is something, y'all, that is overwhelmingly liberating and empowering about knowing why you were born. I've seen people, I've been pastoring for a number of years, and unfortunately I've seen people survive great tragic accidents. And so I don't make this up because I know it's happened a couple of times. Someone is in a bad car accident and the car is totaled and the car flips over a few times and they walk out of it with barely a scratch. And all of a sudden they have an epiphany and they say stuff like, I'm here for a reason. God got me here for it. And then some people say, maybe I'm supposed to preach. Maybe you're supposed to slow down. Maybe you're supposed to not have bald tires. Maybe it ain't that deep. It ain't that spiritual. Okay. Maybe the blood just still works. Come on now. Maybe God's trying to tell you nothing other than to slow down and realize and don't take life for granted. And so what happened, people go through something tragic and then they have this wake up, this epiphany about purpose. I'm supposed to be, I'm for a reason. I'm here for a reason. I'm supposed to be doing something. Can I tell you, you don't need an accident to know you're here for purpose. Your car don't have to flip over 10 times. The truth of the matter is, no one is born without purpose. No one is born without unique purpose and a unique assignment. And you just gotta walk in the path that God has for you and walk with Him so that you can discover your purpose beyond yourself of just wanting a good job, a boo and a bae, and a nice car. Come on, look, somebody say, it got to be more than this. Got to be, come on, come. Because the thing is, and it's so unfortunate, Solomon had to go through it. It's unfortunate that some people, they get all that and then discover it got to be more than this. They get the car that they thought that they were saving for. Get the car and they're like, no, it got to be, this ain't it, this ain't it. I still got that itch way back here that the car just is not satisfying. I mean, you believe if you can just get a tall blue black man. A sir. A Mandingo warrior kind of man. I need a Wesley Snipe black man. On the other hand, you say, no, I need me a Mario Peebles. Curly wavy hair. Light skinned man. You know. Some brother said, I just need that big booty woman. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Somebody said, no, I don't like them big. If I can get a skinny one, and then you get the big one, you get the short one, get the fat one, get the dark one, you get the light one, and you still find out a man don't do it. A woman don't do it. Get the house, and you get what you want, and then you don't want what you got. Because the Bible says that a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. Yeah, I know. And I can honestly tell you, as somebody who has some stuff now, life is not about stuff. So Solomon had to come and realize. He said, the more stuff you get, the more responsibility you got. He said, you gotta maintain this stuff. You gotta keep this stuff, you know. And then you get a wife who you love, who won't let you fix the stuff when you want to fix the stuff. Every time the stuff breaks, every time she hears something, she wants you to do something immediately to the stuff. You know, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do this. Now you wish I'd have had this stuff. We have a bench by our bed. We have a bench by a bed, and I kept meaning to tighten the thing. I kept meaning to tighten it. I said, I'm gonna tighten that place. I'm tightening the stool in front of the bed. And all of a sudden, the other day, she said, "This bench broke." I didn't see it. I think she fell. You didn't fall? Yeah, but it fell, and I almost couldn't, it almost was like Humpty Dumpty. It couldn't put it back together again, okay? Stuff breaks. Things got to be maintained, okay? That nice car, it really, they mean it when they say premium gas. Okay, now you can mess around if you want to and try to put the cheapest El Cheapo in there. Okay, it'll mess up your engine. And so you realize, well, stuff is not all it's cracked up to be. There's got to be something more than this. So something overwhelming and liberating and empowering. Dr. King once said that a man who does not have something for which he is willing to die is not fit to live. And I would add a qualifier to that statement, because you can't know that for which you're willing to die until you know the reason you were born. Otherwise, you could be dying for the wrong thing. You could be dying for something God never intended for you to die for. And then you're not alive for what he wanted you to be here for. And some of y'all need to get this. Every cause ain't your cause. Every need is not the call. You're not supposed to be in every protest. Okay? Yeah, some of y'all are like, man, if I was back there, you know, I would have been right there on Freedom Rider. No, you should have stayed right where you were. Because as soon as they pulled, you would have been running, the Lord Jesus. Thank God for those who did. But thank God for the time you were born. Because God knows your purpose. You were born when you were born for such a time as this. A bird isn't afraid of heights, because he was born for this. Fish isn't afraid of water, because he was born for water. A bear isn't afraid of woods. I am. We got woods by my house, and Pastor Marcia, she usually walks the dog. This one particular day, I decided to walk the dog with her. And so we walk right around 5 minutes from the house. There's woods there. We go to the other side of the woods, through the road, through the street. And this day, we decided we're going to walk back through the woods. And usually 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes back. We're walking for about a half hour. And I realized, no house. Where are we? No house and no yellow brick road. Okay? This must be an old town road, and I don't have a horse. We walking. I'm like, our house is 5 minutes away. Where are? I don't know where we went. Okay? And then every time I heard something, I'm like, I didn't have a gun. I didn't have a rifle. Okay, but I discovered the woods is not my element. The woods is the bear's element. A lion isn't afraid of the jungle, but I am. Because they're in their element. Once you are in your element, what is fearful to other people doesn't scare you. Because for this purpose you were born. Once you were in your element, what's hard for other people is easy for you. Because you come to realize, for this purpose I was born. I was born. Born for this. There's some of you sitting right there right now who say stuff like, man, I don't know how you get up here every Sunday and preach in front of all these people, stand in front of all these people. But I was born for this. I was born for this. There's some of y'all who look at Pastor Marcia and hear my examples. Of, I don't know how she had, Lord, she's been around here how 35 years. Ain't no way I could be mad. The bishop, man, Lord, Jesus, he would get on my nerves. But she was born for this. When you're born for it, you can handle what other people can't handle. When you're born for it, you can take what other people can't take, because you're in your element. So once you know purpose, you can function in your element. So this whole discussion, it comes down to the issue of purpose. Now, all of us don't have the benefit of knowing our purpose very early on as a child. I did as an adolescent. Okay, I didn't understand the word called at that time, but it was New Year's Eve. I was 12 years old, December 31st, now January 1st. Okay, I'm the youngest of five children. Everybody else is out partying, including my mother and her boyfriend. I'm home by myself. Initially started off crying because I was mad and scared and all that, but I ended up praying. End up praying, and I heard God tell me, as he could talk to a child, tell my people about heaven. And I started telling my family, I'm going to preach. I love to say I said I'm called. I didn't understand call. I just said I'm going to preach. And they start telling the pastor. And start telling the people I'm going to preach. And then when I got around my spiritual mother on birth, Mother Bailey, she started telling me, you called. And then when she started telling me I was called, she told me, you can't play cards because you called. So you can't be wearing those, y'all don't know nothing about this, those Jordache jeans. Y'all don't know now, I'm telling my age now. You can't wear those Jordache jeans because you called. She told me I couldn't wear shorts because I was called. On Friday night, all the teenage Christians in the church, most of us had church on Friday night. We would meet up around 11, 12 o'clock midnight and go do midnight bowling. And she said, you can't be going to that bowling because you called. When I was in high school, we was into backgammon, and backgammon was, I even forgot how to play backgammon now. We used to stay and have backgammon contests and backgammon clubs, and I carried my briefcase. It looked like it was a backgammon set, and I came to Bible study one night straight from school, and she said, you got a new briefcase for your Bible? I said, no, this is backgammon. She said, what? I opened it up. I said, what's that? I opened it up. I said, it's called backgammon. She said, get those dice out this church. I don't care if it's back gambling or front gambling or side gambling. You called. The only thing I came to understand about called is that I changed my mind. Maybe calling ain't fun, but I came to understand I was called. And likewise, Jeremiah, the first chapter, we see Jeremiah. I don't know his age, but it's believed that he's a young child. Because God tells him, don't say I'm a young man. God said, don't say I'm a child. God speaks to Jeremiah regarding his calling. He's a child. Jeremiah 1 and 5, and he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. We get into debates. We make it a political thing between pro-choice and pro-life. When does life begin? Life began before you were born, according to the scripture. Before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before you became an embryo, or as I heard Bishop Jake say, before your grandfather saw your great grandmother at the church picnic and said, girl, let's go for a walk. I formed thee in the belly. Before I formed thee in the belly, before your mother conceived you. I'm jumping ahead of myself. I'd already done some research on this. Before 250 million sperm was in a rush to get to one egg to form you. Whew. See, I'm jumping ahead of myself because I'm just going to give a little appetite. I can't get to it this week. But you were born to win. It's in my notes. I'll come back say it next week, but I'm just going to give a little teaser. You was a winner before you was born. Okay? Watch this. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You was a winner before you was born, so you was a winner sinner. If you was a winner sinner, how you going to be a losing saint? I'll come back to that next week. I'll come back to that next week. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified. Now, which means, let me explain it. We were in spirit form before we became natural form. The Bible said that God is the father of spirits. That's why you got to get born again. Okay? When we talk about we want to look like him and be like Jesus. Come on, we ain't talking about we want to look like him physically. Okay, he's the father of spirits. Before I formed thee, I knew you in spirit form before you became in natural form. He said, and I sanctified you, which means I put you aside, and ordained you, meaning I separated you. God said, before you were born, I had already an assignment. I had a calling. I had a path for you. Now I said, now I need them to be born so they can get on this path. And then Paul says stuff like this. He said, you're going to have to seek them. Because God wants us to seek him. If you seek, you shall find. If happily you find him. And once you seek him out, now he reveals the path, the destiny to you. Because he says, I'm not just going to automatically just put you on it. I delight in you seeking me. I delight in you recognizing that you need me. I delight in this search that I need to know God. And I need to have a deeper walk. And I need him to talk to me. And I need some revelation, some inspiration. And some insight beyond where I want you to seek me. He says that I don't want you to seek me because I'm merely playing with you. I want you to seek me so I can strengthen you. I have my youngest now, but I have a toddler grandson, and when he was learning to walk, okay, you would stand him up, okay, and you say, come on, and then as he walks towards you, you keep backing up. And he's walking, you keep backing up. And it's not that you want him to fall. No, I want you to stand stronger. Okay? And sometimes you feel like God's backing up from you. He said, come on, get yourself together. But get up, I'm right here. Get on up. It's not that God left you. He's just backing up, saying, come on, come a little closer. Get up, get yourself together. Brush yourself off. I got purpose for you beyond this fall. I got purpose for you beyond your mistake. I have purpose for you beyond your dilemma. I have purpose on you beyond what you're feeling right now. Get yourself up and keep on walking. She said, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came out the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. So this purpose, understanding purpose that I was born for this, is empowering. Understanding purpose is liberating. It's emboldening. It makes you bold.
There's something empowering about knowing why you were born. God didn't just create you. He created you with purpose. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to know that we were born for this. Order this series today by calling 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. You may also purchase the MP3 download. Just ask for I Was Born for This. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.